Could I comment on Mary's question also? This is Ernesto.
Go ahead, Ernesto.
Also, my comment is that it's not Mary's opinion that this is of concern to people at KPFA, but something that's regularly discussed.
Okay.
So what's not fair, it should probably be addressed and maybe formalized differently, because people at the station do feel that there's it's something of a subsidy, not and it's not necessarily transparent. And that's all I had to say.
Thank you. Okay. So this Lonnie has to answer all of these. So like I said, we're answering all these. We're asking all these great questions. Now onto the Central Administrative Services. There, what we came up with, Central Administrative Services represent an allocation of business support revenue from each radio station to cover central administrative expenditures. The Central Administrative Services consists of, they have National Office, they have Democracy Now!, Pacifica Radio, Archives, Free Speech Radio, and here we said that we should have a complete list of all of these. I don't know if there are any others. You know, if there are, then Lonnie will fill in the blanks for that one. Now, at the very bottom, this is where, if Mary and Jamie could just remind me if I err along the way here. There was an issue with the percentages. For example, it says here that the monthly allocation for KPFA is 18.5. And some of these percentages, we've been hearing that, for example, at DAI is 20%. And we need to know, are they just counting off, or is it actually, what is it really? Because the difference, you know, 0.5, you know, can add up after a while, you know? So we need to find exactly what the percentages are. So is that okay with everybody? That should be pretty easy for us to go through.
Yeah, this is a change. You know, years ago, all of the money went to the national office. And the change now is that each one of the stations has its own bank account and receives the money first. Now the national office has to bill each one of the stations. And it's billed usually about 20%.
Okay,
so there's a discrepancy in WBI's listing. Here it's
19.5.
Here, well, WBI has the 20% is something that's listed elsewhere. Right here, we see 19.5, but in other documents, we have seen 20%. Is that not so?
Yeah,
that's definitely true.
I don't know where these figures came from.
In the income statements, BAI definitely is charged 20% of listener support.
Right.
That's right. That's right. Close to.
Okay.
That's our question.
I just want to say I have to leave the call now, but
okay, Lisa,
I think there was a lot of good work done on this, and I just also want to make one minor suggestion, if I may. You may have put page numbers on this, but in the copy I have it didn't come out. But just, you know, for future copies, if they do the pagination, that would be great.
Yes, we will.
My little contribution.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Now, here we have... Direct mail campaigns by the national office are conducted, need specified policy and procedure for that. They're doing direct mail, so that was a very good suggestion, I think. Does anybody have an issue with that? Okay, hearing none, moving right along, cash receipt policy. At the bottom, they use titles that are not consistent, and I think have consistent titles. I mean, throughout.
I think that's because it's cobbled together from various managers.
So the question here is, who is the MEMSIS manager? We need to know who. I don't know of anybody at. She's not the person here that inputs our information into MEMSIS. She's not called a MEMSIS manager. She is called the.
Subscriptions manager.
Yes, subscriptions director.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah. Right. So they need to be specific. If they're all subscriptions directors, so when they look at us, they should be able to. It should be uniformed. Everybody should know by definition what this particular person does.
Yep.
Or if it's not, I mean, maybe a station is small and only has one person, but then you say they are doing both of these jobs, so it's clear. Yeah.
Okay. Now, below that, we have procedures. How are we doing our timekeeper?
We have 15 minutes if we stick to a 10:30 close. We have, I believe it's 30 minutes if we stick to an hour and a half.
Okay.
What?
Great.
Well, because we didn't start at 9.
Right,
We started at 9.
Great.
12 Eastern.
Let's move quickly. Okay, we're going through the procedures. Or slow me down if you think I need to be slowed down. By procedures, it says here, all mail is opened by Memphis manager and the development manager at each station on duty. Now, the development manager, you know, between the three of us, we were a little surprised.
Yeah.
We call the development director, they're calling a development manager. So we don't understand, is the point here that they want dual control, that they have to be these dual people, you know, for check verification? This isn't very clear. Who are these people with these titles?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's basically, I think, for the rest of the document, that's pretty confusing, I think. Jamie and Mary, am I correct?
Yeah, because that development manager, I thought at first it was a typo, but it occurs later, and then the term development director occurs. So this person, this job, none of us know what this is.
Yeah, Jamie would like to speak.
Okay, go ahead, Jamie.
In general, I would prefer these procedures to be written as flexibly as possible, so that they could be adhered to, you know, regardless of what the staffing titles or numbers of staff there are at the various stations. Somehow, that problem needs to be addressed. And you're right, Nia, this is sort of a consistent issue. I don't know, I'm not exactly sure how to do it, but it needs to be, you know, Pacifica, we have to admit that we don't necessarily have all these people hired at every station. We need to write a procedure that, if it's going to be a real procedure that's going to be followed and not something that's going to be ignored, we have to make it something that can be followed, you know, without a lot of fuss.
You're right. Someone should be able to pick this up, and they should be able to just go in and do whatever it is that they need to do. And as auditors, we should not be confused.
Right.
Exactly. Now,
decipher what
number three
job is met.
Go ahead, Tico. Go ahead, Tico.
I was going to say, without having to decipher what was meant with some sort of Rosetta Stone that interprets what the position that they hold is in comparison to the title that was used in these procedures.
Right.
Right, exactly. In number three, we fixed this to say copies of checks and records of the cash receipts are attached to the daily log. Because the way they had it was if you're going to copy the cash. I don't think we want to start copying cash. In number four, it says here, the general manager, the question here was, would it really be the general manager that someone would give the copies of the bank accounts, the deposit slips? To me, that's not practical, to give deposit slips to the general manager. We're thinking it should be the business manager.
Sure, sure.
So that's good. Going down to stock donations, okay. And we're going to make this conversation a short one, right? In number two, it says here, number two is where we had a correction. The station or unit receiving the stock donation should obtain a DTC. Ambrose, what does that mean?
Don't ask me that.
No.
I have a question, please.
Ted Evelyn.
Okay. When I read through this, I think the reason that it goes to, it looks like it goes to the general manager first and then to the business manager, because the business manager is the one who makes the deposit.
Yeah.
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 Okay, and it's going to the general manager for verification prior to going to the business manager, if you read all the way to number six.
There's this letter.
The gentleman signs off on the deposit and returns it. See, they say, and that was my question during the thing, where it says returns it to the business manager. But prior to that, the business manager was not mentioned. So when you say you're returning something to someone, then that person should have been mentioned, and that's why.
But I think that what they're taking to the business manager is what has to be deposited, because it says returns it to the business manager for deposit.
Oh yeah, I understand. But like I said, if you're going to return something to somewhere in the procedure, the business manager should have been mentioned, and that title is not mentioned. That's why we think number four, rather than general manager, should be business manager.
I think that deposit slips go to the general manager first for verification, for him to sign off on them before they go to the business manager, because the business manager handles the deposits, and somebody has to do the verification before it goes to the business manager, because the business manager can't have the deposit slips and the deposit without someone else having verified it and signed off
right.
on it.
That's true. But in I, there is somebody who actually does the deposit. And the fiscal assistant, whatever.
That would be the assistant.
Right, exactly. That person, along with the temp, that's your dual control right there. So I think in I, between those two, then it goes to the business manager. It doesn't go to the IGM. But it needs to be spelled out clearly.
And then we have the development manager again, who's got three people in here, and we don't, again, know. That was noted earlier, but it should.
Jamie, I have a point of information for Evelyn.
Sure.
Evelyn, since you seem to have a handle on these things, which actually I don't, in your opinion, is the sort of algorithm here where two people who are neither the business manager nor the general manager open the mail and log it, and then they present to the general manager what they've logged, and then the general manager gives it to the business manager to deposit. Is that
right.
an appropriate and effective way to control?
Exactly.
You think that's a good way to do it?
Because the person who makes the deposit cannot be the one who opens it and logs it in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and there needs to be a third person, like between the people who open it and the one who deposits it, to verify it, and then you just name who that is. You know, and on here it's the general manager.
Let me write this down so I'm sure I understand it. So the depositor cannot be the one who opens the mail.
No.
Who opens the checks or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if I agree with that, because
the organization is small and you only have one person, that one person may do everything.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. However,
that's not the
ideal way for it to happen.
Yeah.
Because if there's going to be some stealing going on, if a person gets the money, gets the statements, and also makes the deposits, they can hide a whole bunch of stuff before anybody knows what's going on.
No separation of function.
Okay. But we're not talking about getting the statement. The statement, I think in here it says either we passed it or somewhere further down, the statements go to the IGM. I'm saying if the deposits come in and the one person, let's say in our case, the temporary person opens up the envelopes with the fiscal assistant looking on. Right? There are two people. Opens them up, and the fiscal assistant fills out the deposit ticket, okay, and makes the necessary photocopies and so forth. And the other person in the dual control takes that to the bank. That's okay, because you have the copies. The person has to come back from the bank with a deposit ticket stamped by the bank, which should match what you have as your photocopy, so there wouldn't be much. You can't steal anything there. I mean, you can. You could take the cash and not come back at all.
That's true.
So you still have your dual control there. So it doesn't have to be the general manager to get involved in that kind of day-to-day, to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Type of thing.
Whatever procedure that Pacifica wants to put in place, they can put in place. I was explaining what this procedure is that's on here. It's got a third-party involvement. And what
right.
I was saying was that what is occurring in this scenario that's on in the document has 3 points of control, not just two, because it goes from whoever is opening it for verification to the general manager and then to the business manager. If you don't want it to be that way, or if Pacifica doesn't want it to be that way, they can have 2 points of control. But there needs to be, at a minimum, two. Three makes it better. Because all the general manager is doing is signing off on it. And the bottom line is, he needs to sign off on it because he really needs to know what's going on in his shop.
Yeah.
Mary Berg, I'd like to get on the stack.
Okay, Mary, is
so,
can we move? I think Tico is keeping us.
Yes, we have 5 minutes left if we finish as stipulated, or 17 minutes if we do an hour and a half meeting.
Okay. Mary, is it something different you have to contribute, or
I just want to point out to Evelyn, this thing was given to us as a draft. It's clearly, if you read it closely, it's from different times. It needs to be tweaked.
I'm not taking issue with
it. It doesn't necessarily
Mayor.
Reflect what is happening right now. And our concern is that, I mean, we're not talking about whether you should have dual control or not, but we've got a job in here that doesn't seem to exist anymore. We've got all these questions, so it isn't. We're trying to defend whether there should be. I'm just trying to clarify why we're not just trying to pick it to pieces for no reason. We're just trying to make it that it would be. And as Jamie said, it should be flexible, so it could apply to more than one station, no matter how big or small, and that it, you know, be coherent, which we find this part is of as it's written is not. That's all I wanted to say.
Right. Okay.
This is Jamie. Could I ask one more question to Evelyn?
I also
sure.
have a question. This is Tico.
Okay. Jamie?
My question
you.
For Evelyn is, do you think that the 3 points of control method of doing things is appropriate for outfits the size of the individual Pacific stations, which may have between maybe 10 to 20 or 25 paid people? Is that a reasonable way
well,
to do things?
The most critical thing is to have separation of who opens the mail and does the logging and who makes the deposit.
Okay.
That is the most critical piece.
Right.
Okay.
Does that mean it's my turn?
Go ahead, Tico.
Because what I was going to suggest is that we should ask Lonnie to clarify whether we use sometimes double control and sometimes triple, and then perhaps write separate protocols for both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was, like Evelyn was saying, depending on the size of the station. Okay.
Correct.
That's fair. Let me just write that in here somewhere.
Well, the way this is written, there's no if the general manager's on vacation, you can't make a deposit. So this is not. You know,
it should say in some cases, or designee, or designated employee, or...
Yeah.
Uh-huh, that's a good way.
Right, okay, designated employee. Very good. Okey-dokey. Now, let's go on to... number three was the next... That's the CUSIO, but I know that the acronym is CUSIP. I just want to make sure that's what was supposed to be here. Rather, CUSIO should be CUSIP number.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The next item in the central services, number two, I didn't know what that meant, what that statement. The controller will compare deposit report, telephone the station bank twice a month, and compare the deposit information to the radio station's report. Does anybody there have any idea what that means? The three of us did not know what in the world that meant.
Well, the controller is simply calling the bank, whatever bank the station uses, twice a month, and then doing a mini verification on the deposit.
put a comma after the word report.
Right, and it'll make sense. The controller will compare the deposit report.
Yep.
Then telephone the bank's, the station's bank twice a month and compare the deposit information to the radio station's report. Because the radio station sends a report to the controller every month.
How is that from balancing the checks, the checkbook? I don't understand. You get the monthly statement. What report? What is a deposit report?
It's a report on all the deposits that have been made during the month. Simply
at your
deposit.
Local station bank.
Right.
Every station has a bank account to which they deposit all the contributions.
Right.
And they have to make a report to the controller.
Okay. But
all of this is simply checks and balances. Most of it. That's what it is.
Mary Berg.
Okay. One second. A deposit report telephone.
The report doesn't telephone. It's the controller will compare the deposit report.
Put a comma after the word report.
I understand that. Mary Berg, I have another question here.
One second. Go ahead, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Well, for clarification, the deposit report shouldn't be the bank deposit report. If you want checks and balances, each station's bookkeeping office should prepare their own deposit report based on their books, and that's what would be compared to the bank records.
Well,
so
and number
it,
one,
it isn't clear from this. If they simply recorded what they took to the bank will say that's what they took, but that's not a checks and balances. You need to report to show...
If you have a list of deposits.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
One of those deposits isn't. The bank doesn't show it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the list of the deposit report that is generated ought to be the total of the receipts that actually came and all of that. It shouldn't just be whatever was said on the deposit report that went to on the deposit slip. It should have the summary of the money that was received so that you could check it that way. Is that, in fact, the same as what the bank actually shows? I mean, I don't know. It's just I used to do this also in quite a lot, and we never, for checks and balances,
Actually, this is very antiquated because you can get on the Internet and check your deposit report.
Well, either way, but you don't have to telephone it. Yeah, so that's a good point. So you contact the bank. You could do that by Internet or by phone or whatever way you wanted.
So I think maybe we should write it to say to use technology, or we should mention the technology like Evelyn said.
If available.
Except that you don't have to specify how we get hold of the bank. You verify with the bank, and that's follows Jamie's thing about flexibility, because there could be still a new technology tomorrow, and we don't want to rewrite this by talking about what technology. However it's done, the purpose is the controller compares the deposit report that she's got, with whatever the bank has, however they do it. So the less specific we get, whether we say telephone, I don't think we should say telephone or Internet or anything about technology, just that's what happens. Personally, that's my two cents.
Okay. All right. So may we move?
Yeah.
Okay. And then went down to number 7. Do I hear a voice? Is someone trying to say something?
I said we have 10 minutes.
Okay. Thanks. In number 7, there, the accounts payable manager prepares the necessary journal entries and records the transactions in the accounting system. And here, I think we're okay with, what is this S here? I think that was
I don't know what that is.
Well, that was just a typo.
Okay.
We
added an 8. And the 8 said, should the central services statement for each station also be mailed monthly to the respective general manager or business manager?
That's what the S probably came from, the S of should.
From the should, right. But does everybody
come out?
That should be added on there?
Yeah, number 8 should be added, and that other S in 7 should come out.
Did we, We're on the working group, Mary. I'm asking the folks who run on the working group.
I think it's a good idea because then the business manager has an actual document that she can compare to what she or he, to what they know they should get billed. They have a document from Central Services.
Okay. Very good. Now let's scroll on down past policy. No, go to policy and number 4. And here it says invoices not properly supported and completed will be returned. And it should say with explanation of corrections to be made.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just they should be returned. You know, why? What do they do with it? That was that. That one was nice and easy. Any objections? Any suggestions? Going down to stringers here. In stringers, and we said they need to specify other real employees / contractors because they weren't mentioned in this category of stringers.
And what you might want to put also is Social Security number or EIN number, because some of the freelance people have EIN numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And they
yeah.
can use those because they're private, they're contractors.
Right, that's
Social
a good point.
Social Security number / EIN numbers. Now we go to payroll, and for the first sentence, the payroll function is the responsibility of the payroll manager. And our question is this a national or local?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody here has the answer to guide us along, or we'll just leave it for Lonnie to answer.
Does anybody know at the national office, does there exist a position for payroll manager?
I doubt it.
You doubt it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When you were there, right, Ambrose?
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have anybody like that at BAI, I don't think.
We don't at KPFT either, for sure.
All right, so that's an issue. It's a phantom position.
Oh, boy. All right. Number 4, assistant controller here. Summarizes, I think that just there was a spelling error there, so that one was easy. Going down to petty cash.
Oh, well, I have another question. Does anybody know if at the national office exists a position of assistant controller?
Yeah, there was.
Yes, there is.
There was.
I think.
There is now or there was?
There was until not that long ago. I don't know if there's one right this very minute. But
okay.
I know it wasn't that long ago.
Okay.
But that is a national office position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, for petty cash, number 7, here we just, the word topped off, we weren't too crazy about the word topped off. The petty cash should be replenished on a monthly basis or when the total cash in the box falls below 150. That was just it. Just idiosyncrasy with that word there. We like replenish. Then the very last bullet there in number 9, it says reimbursement of travel and per diem expenses, except bus, taxi, and train fares over $20. So is that good?
Wait, would you repeat that? I missed what you meant by that.
Okay. You want me to tell you what it said originally and then what we changed it to?
Yes.
Okay. Originally said reimbursement of travel and expenses. Travel and
expenses.
Expenses except bus, taxi, and train fares over $20. And we changed it to read reimbursement of travel and per diem expenses. Bus, taxi.
Hello.
Over $20. Is that okay, Don?
Don? Don?
I think his phone rang.
Something happened.
We'll come back if he comes back. Then in number 10, change the periodically to on the monthly basis, the finance office will request the business manager and general manager to count and reconcile the petty cash fund and confirm this reconciliation to cash management.
Yeah, they should do that every month.
Yeah.
Because when they don't, it becomes a nightmare.
Okay. So rather periodic on a monthly basis.
Right.
All righty. Pacifica travel policies and procedures. And here, Lonnie, we put, please draft these two sections real quickly. That's the credit card policy and government policy. Unless, do we have something that we want to put in that we think must go in there that we can suggest? No?
Well, I would say, you know, give Lonnie that opportunity so that he can make sure he puts the correct accounting principle stuff in there. And it should be something he can just snatch out of the book. He doesn't have to create it.
Right.
Now, we're going through procedures, go past opening and closing. Sizing, petty cash, go down. We didn't have any there. Payroll and policy. Okay, where it says procedures. Right below in payroll and benefits, in the procedures section, Prime Link. I don't know what Prime Link is. Right. Is this instruction?
One other question.
Yeah.
On petty cash, I'm just reading this really quick. I don't see where there is a prerequisite that prior to making an expenditure, they have to get prior approval before doing that. For reimbursement?
I think, let's see.
And maybe I'm missing it. I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah, it says each individual requesting petty cash must complete a petty cash voucher.
Okay, but they can do, but people do vouchers after, sometimes they go out, they spend the money, then they come in, they fill out the voucher to get reimbursed. However, there needs to be a mechanism in place that unless there's something, outside of the norm, that there be a request, a prior request, or a prior approval. Like, you know, you talk, run it by the general manager or the business manager and say, we need to do XYZ. I'm going to pick this up, and I'll bring the receipts, and you fill out something that says that prior to going out and spending the money.
Don White here.
Okay. Well, 1 second, Don.
Go ahead. Okay. The Pacifica National Board has passed a very fairly strict policy, but I think it only applies to the general manager when he or she wishes to be reimbursed. We're talking about expenditures, you know, that the GM wants to be reimbursed for. And the policy that the PMB passed was that those had to first go to the CFO for processing and then be signed off by the ED. And I remember when the vote was taken, people said, well, is there a bottom line where that didn't have to occur? Like, does this apply only to things over like $200 or something? And frankly, it wasn't written in there. It was all of them. Anyone on the PMB will remember the vote on that. So basically, reimbursements have to be processed by the Berkeley office.
Okay. So maybe we need to elaborate in number one. For instance, each individual requesting petty cash must complete a petty cash voucher to be approved by. Is that what we want to say there?
I want to say prior to sending the money.
Mary Bird, can I speak to that, please?
One second, please, Mary. So I guess if it says each individual requesting petty cash must complete a petty cash voucher, if they're requesting it.
A point of order.
Okay, I got it now.
Yeah, the board clearly did not mean that they had to get this approved before they spent the money. It was to be reimbursed for money that they spent. And then if it was approved, they could be reimbursed. If it was considered to be a personal expense and not a foundation expense, theoretically it wouldn't be approved.
I would like to speak to that if I could briefly, because I may have to leave the call pretty quick.
Okay, Mary.
We all are.
We're almost there, guys. Hang in there. We're getting...
The point of it is if people could be out on a remote and they need to get a cable, it could be, and they can't do it. They can't get approval from anywhere. They're out on a site.
Yeah.
Things like this happen, so I think it would be very not good to put that. There's enough. If you have enough restrictions after, you don't need that, and it would really.
I got it.
Thanks.
Okay, Evelyn got it. She was the objective. She got it. Okay. So let's move right along here. Payroll benefits introduction and this Prime Link. I don't know what the payroll cycle. Lonnie should put in the payroll cycle, like we've been saying. Let him put this in. We won't suggest to him whatever the pay cycle is. I don't. Okay. Prime Link, the payroll cycle using Prime Link. I don't know why highlighted. And then new hires. He has nothing in new hires. Entering payroll, those things need to be filled in. And I think that, surprise, surprise, that's it. That's it, folks. Now,
how are we?
We were at 10:48. I think we did very, very, very well.
You did. Excellent.
You did really good, Nia.
Wonderful work.
Yeah, but I have to praise Nia because she does a great job of this.
Absolutely.
And Jamie and Mary and you guys, yeah, we all pitch in and we're
great people.
I agree, Mary.
We're really good people here.
Yeah, we are
saints. You're saints.
No, we're
not quite.
Let's just face it. Why try to deny it anymore?
Oh goodness.
What I'm going to do before the 18th, then I'll let you guys go. I'm going to the AICPA, and they have they had some nice prefaces, which I didn't have time to read today. I didn't have time because I had this eye infection. I'm going to read that and come up with the preface for the 18th that we might want to use in the act. And I'm sure that call probably a long one since we'll have two groups of people together, but I think we've done quite a bit. Now, if you folks, after the call, if you read it and you have other suggestions, please feel free to post it to the list, and I'll incorporate it before the 18th.
Okay.
But I think that we did a very thorough job.
I think we did.
Yeah.
Neil, I sent a question to the AICPA website.
Yeah.
Concerning that stock piece.
Uh-huh.
To get a ruling on how that accounting should flow.
Okay.
And usually it takes them about 28 to 48 hours to answer.
Okay. And I'll also check with Baruti. He's as a CPA, I'm sure he would probably just answer me right off.
Probably right quick.
Right.
Get to him. Okay, folks, so thank you very much. Thank you very much. Nia, I have a question. Wonderful. Nia, I got to go. Thank you so much.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Nia,
somebody has a question.
Bye-bye. Is the meeting with the Finance Committee confirmed?
Yes, for the 18th. I posted that about a week ago, yes.
So they are on board with that, too?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
fantastic. Yes. And what time is that?
It's at 8 p.m.
8 p.m., okay.
Hey, Neil, before you hang up, I may be flying, and I'm not sure what time because I don't have my reservation yet on the 18th. So hopefully it'll either be earlier or later so I can get on the call.
Oh, okay. Where are you off to?
Going to D.C.
Okay.
work, but I always manage to have fun, too.
Okay. Okay. Good night, folks. And thanks, John.
Good night.
Good night.
A privilege.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.